Oh, I'm fired up for this one. How are you doing? This is Bucks Kickoff here, only on JoeBucksFan.com. Are you ready? Chicago Bears, the Bears, Chicago, they're in. Oh, yeah. And I am expecting some Bears fans to make the trip. You know what I mean? 3-3. We'll come down to Tampa Bay. We'll see the GOAT. We did a good job last year. We took care of business. The Bucks stunk it up. And so I'm expecting some Bears jerseys around Raymond James Stadium. I'm going to be in the stands. I'm going to be up in the press box. I have family in town at the game. I'm going to be around, walking around here in the tailgate and everything. And I'll give you the whole report on our next Bucks kickoff. But this one is about the Bucks and the Chicago Bears. I have been at one Buck place behind those gated walls all week long. What I'm seeing, what I'm hearing, this Buccaneers Kickoff, Bucks Kickoff podcast on Joe Bucks Fan is brought to you by the one, the only Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford Tampa. Bill Curry Ford. The Curry family is synonymous with excellence and consistency. You know how the Bears haven't been able to be consistent? Well, Bill Curry Ford has been consistent. That Curry family name, 61 years. They're located a half mile right up the road on Dale Mabry from Raymond James Stadium, a beautiful showroom. They have plenty of cars. Sean Sullivan is the Tom Brady when it comes to general managers of cars dealerships. He's the GOAT. Sean Sullivan is the GOAT, and he's accessible. Go in. You can go into their showroom and say, I want to speak with Sean Sullivan. Who are you? My name is so-and-so. Rock Riley from Joe Bucks Fan told me, hold on, I'll get Sean. He will answer any question you may have, whether it's right now, whether it's even you're going to be buying or leasing or in 6 months down the road. Maybe you need your vehicle serviced and you want to do it, have it done right. You go to Bill Curry Ford. Plenty of ways to get a hold of Sean Sullivan. Go to BillCurryFord.com. You can email him. You can do the old-fashioned way. Call him up by phone, all right? Or stop in the showroom. Two great things. Number one, mention that you are, again, a Joe Bucks fan, and Rock Riley told you, you get a Joe Bucks fan discount, and Bill Curry Ford has a nationwide lifetime guarantee on new and used vehicles. BillCurryFord.com. Ask for Sean Sullivan. All right, are you ready? Let's get going. All right, now the Buccaneers, yeah, the injuries are mounting. They're still way more talented than the Chicago Bears team. But as Brady said, and he has stressed every time he talks with us, I told you guys this is a different year. I never played in the rain last year. I hadn't played in the rain in 19 months, and we had that driving rainstorm against the New England Patriots up there in Foxborough. Up the Mass Pike. Injuries. We didn't hardly have any injuries. They're getting hit by injuries now. All right. So I'm sure you've heard if you haven't, Gronk is out with the ribs. AB, Antonio Brown with an ankle. Levante David, he's out with the ankle. And Richard Sherman with the hamstring. Let's go over to the Bears side. They're pretty banged up. They've had a lot of starters out. All right, let's face it. They're 3-3. The opponents have a record of 11-5 in those games that they lost. So they're not getting blown out, but we'll get into it with more detail. But they have had a lot of starters out. Tight end Jimmy Graham, he's on the COVID list. He joins running back Darian Williams and offensive linebacker, outside linebacker Robert Quinn. So that's Quinn, that's Williams, that's Graham. That's going to hurt. Veteran safety, Tashawn Gibson Sr. He's out. He's got a hip injury. The Chicago Bears coming into this bad boy, they're light at safety. They're starting Eddie Jackson. And the other safety on the other side of Jackson is going to be a mix of some backups. When you talk Chicago Bears, they go as Justin Fields go. He's going to be a good one. You can see that he's got the talent. Is this the game that it all comes together? This is only start number 5 for Justin Fields. He does not turn it over. He's only got 3 picks and he has not lost a fumble. 4 starts, 5 turnovers. But here's the thing with Justin Fields. He holds onto it too long. He is taking sacks and he's taking sacks for big yardage. And that makes it hard to keep long drives going. The Bears are last in the NFL in passing yards. The Chicago Bears are last in yards per attempt. So this week, now I don't know whether or not this is just coaches speak to just keep him confident as a young quarterback, or is there a little bit of truth to that? The Bears coaches this week said that he is improving, and they were praising Fields on going through his progressions. He is getting better. That's what you would expect. You know, he's a rookie. He's only had 4 starts. So he is getting better. Now, Bruce Arians, for the most part, and I'm there for his press conferences, when he's asked a question, he pretty much just tells you what he thinks. He's been around long enough. He's had success. He's confident in his team, and he's got a coaching staff, all the coaches that he knew, and they all came back. And so there's not too much hiding, but he does pump up the opponents an awful lot, and most head coaches do. And he said this week, anytime he was asked about, he says they have a very good defense, Chicago Bears, but he always is like, I'm concerned about this rookie quarterback. He can beat with your legs. He can do a lot of things, and he can do a lot of things. Well, he's been inconsistent, and you would expect that. Now, on the other side, what's going on with the Buccaneers? We talk offense. We talk playoff Lenny. Playoff Lenny, all-season Lenny, Lombardi Lenny. Honestly, off the field, well, actually on the field for practice, this guy cracks me up. He is constantly yelling, ribbing, busting balls the whole time that we're there. We watched 30 minutes of practice in the beginning, and they were having a quarterback's drill. The quarterbacks work over there on one field. Sometimes if the Buccaneers go inside the Glazier Shed, as the Joes call it on Joe Bucks Fan, the quarterbacks always start outside. And then they will come in and they have the whole practice and they'll run the whole practice. And then when they're outside, they're all outside. And the quarterbacks run their drills, the warm-up drills. They go for the corner end zone. They do these things where their back is to the receivers and then they boom, 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 boom. High step, 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 step. And then Clyde Christensen will yell like, ball! And they turn quick, boom, and they do it. They do things with the dummies and this and that. Well, this week they had this kind of like an obstacle course, like an old Wide World of Sports competition where they had the big blocking dummies, tall dummies, and then they put up a bin, like one of those, like a hamper on wheels, you know, you'd have for clothes. And they try to throw it over the dummies and get it in there. And then they take 2 or 3 and try to hit the crossbar. And then they go over and try to hit the net. And you should hear, Playoff Lenny, he's hysterical, man. He's always by himself yelling over. He's like, come on, Griff. Come on, Griff. Oh, hell no. Why is he over there? No, no. And that's Cameron Brate. Now, Cameron Brate, 84, he always goes over there for a little bit and just takes a few reps because he is the emergency quarterback. Come on. Oh, the pressure's on you now. Pressure's on you now. Then they finish up. Who won? Who won? And, the horn sounds. The players are running now to the next drill. They're getting ready. And who won? They said, Crash. Trask. Kyle? A rookie? Oh, hell. Oh, no. No. I'm just telling you. I'm just giving you a little Playoff Lenny cracks me up, but he's feeling it. I got a chance to ask him, you know, what is it feeling like for him right now? Is this the most fun and the best he has ever felt being in the NFL? And he goes, well, you know, my first year in Jacksonville was good, but there's nothing like this place. And he goes, I love it here and they love me here. And then he would go on to say, he goes, this shit is different. He was talking to Richard Sherman, like this organization, they take care of their players. They take care of their veteran players. Now, again, most of this all comes from winning. Winning. I've covered the NFL long enough to know you only play once a week. All right. This isn't baseball with such a grind. I've done interviews with managers and players over the years. There's no rah-rah speeches. There's none of that in baseball. It's 162 games, you know, where football's at once a week. And when you're winning, it cures all. And then on top of that, you've got the GOAT. I got plenty more on the GOAT on this Bucks kickoff. You got the GOAT. And you're coming off a Super Bowl victory. And you got a chance to get back. A chance. You know what I mean? And of course. And the Glaciers do not meddle. You don't have an owner. They don't go in there at all. General manager Jason Light is out there. Every practice that I'm there, I always see him. Oh, by the way, Friday's practice, they pumped in. I could hear crowd noise on the other side. I was on the other side of the fence. They're doing that even when they play at home. And GM Jason Light always, they gathered, the whole team did, and they got in a circle out on the far field after Friday's practice. I don't know what was said to them, just getting them ready for this game against the Bears. But Jason Light always walks by, a wave to him. Shelton Qualls came over in Bruce Arians' golf cart. I think sometimes Bruce, he'll pull up. He had a long sleeve on his one leg. I don't know what that is. He's had some health issues. He's lost weight during the season, but I like him. I really do like him, and the players love it, you know, and the winning will help. Here's the one thing that I have noticed, and you kind of forget about it. And then I will talk to some reporters that come in that cover other teams. The Bucks don't play music at all at practice. They're being coached. As good as they are, you can hear the coaches coaching them. And under Dirk Cutter, going all the way back to Ra, and even Chiano. And then I would talk to NFL Network guys that would come through. Does Belichick have practice music, hip-hop playing? Yes, like every team. They think that because these are young guys, they need to have, you know, the attention span. You got to have music playing during practice. The Bucks don't do that. And you can hear. I'm watching and listening to Clyde Christensen. And here's the GOAT, and along with Gabbert, and along with Griff, and along with Kyle Trask, and he is nonstop coaching them. I want this over here. And the amount of reps that the Buccaneers get is so many compared to any other team that I've ever seen practiced. And the same thing when I hear from out-of-town reporters that come in and watch. They just get in so many reps. It's work. They're being coached, man. And I think there's something to that. All right. Let me get back to this now. Okay. The Buccaneers have three wide receivers with 400 yards or more. Godwin, Evans, and Antonio Brown. The Bears don't have any receivers with 400 yards. The Bucs in yards after the catch are the best in the NFL. The Bears' yards after the catch are the worst in all of the NFL. The one thing that I will say as I've studied the Bears this week, I'm waiting for their wide receiver, Allen Robinson, to break out. He's got 234 yards and one touchdown in 6 weeks. This is a playmaker. This is a guy who has put up big numbers. And for whatever reason, is this the game that Justin Fields hits Allen Robinson? They really don't go down the field much at all. But it's just something that I'm saying, like, you know, a little bit of concern about. But we'll see. Oh, one other thing. I have a friend that's a meteorologist. The kickoff temperature at Raymond James Stadium at 425, between 87 and 90 degrees. It's fall, y'all. Hell no, it's not. Not in Florida yet. Now, my friend, who is a meteorologist, says this is probably going to be the last hot game. This is where the Bucks can take advantage of over the Bears. If you haven't been to any games at Raymond James Stadium lately, on the Buccaneers side, they got big fans. Cool. They try to cool it down. On the opposing side, and that's where the sun is, there ain't no fans. So the Chicago Bears, between 87 and 90 degrees at kickoff, they ain't going to be used to that. It ain't like that in Chicago, even though it's been kind of nice. All right, time now for my A-lister, my rock lister. This is a man who is at all, I see him there all the time. And I want to get some people that are covering the team that are there all the time. His name is Kyle Berger. He works for ABC 7, ABC Action News in Tampa Bay. And he's shooting video all the time. He's putting together stories, and he's there. So he's in the media trail and I said, "Hey, Kyle, you want to come on my podcast, Bucks Kickoff?" "Yeah, it's on your Bucks fan. Come on, let's step outside. I want to get your take, man. What are you seeing here?" So without further ado, let's do this thing.
All right, I'm with Kyle Berger, and he is with ABC Action News. He is their sports anchor, sports reporter. He does it all. He does it all. Kyle, thanks a lot for coming on Bucks Kickoff.
No, no problem. Thanks for having me on, Rock.
All right, so you've been covering this team now for really two years. You covered them during their Super Bowl run. You're here all the time. Where they are at 5-1, how do you feel? Do you feel this is pretty much about what you thought? What do you think?
I think they're in a really good spot. Looking at the schedule at the start of the season, the Rams game was give or take. I penciled in for a loss because you're going on the road. Big game, new stadium for the Rams. Actually, I think they're doing better than I envisioned. I thought maybe that Thursday game at Philadelphia early season could have been one of those trap games, kind of like last year we saw with the Bears. They went into Chicago, came out with a loss, a lot of penalties last year, but they got by that. No problems there. They've got a Bears team coming in here this Sunday with a rookie quarterback. They're kind of beat up on the line. This should be a 6-1 team coming out of this weekend, and they're looking strong and on pace to win this division.
All right, what have you, like I said, you're always here, you're shooting video, you're seeing, you're here when Brady talks. When I ask you, those fans that might not know, what is your impression of the GOAT?
Man, he is a strenuous, hard worker. I mean, you hear about the stories when he was in New England, but when you see it in person and you see how he talks to the media and it just... He's always working. He's always watching film. He's out here. I mean, you can see he's leading by example. He's always the first guy through the drills. I mean, it's unbelievable this about how into it he is. Like I said, you hear the stories about him, like Michael Jordan, about that's the life. That's their life. I mean, everything revolves around football for him. And it's really... really cool to see, and it kind of encourages you to be your best at everything you do because you see someone who is so involved and so just dug in to what they're passionate about.
I know, that's great. That's a new one. Like Jeff Darlington from ESPN, when he flies in and he did a sit down with Brady, and he was on the Rich Eisen show, and he told him, he goes, "We're next to Babe Ruth." It's like, you know, this will never come about in our lifetime. And it's interesting you say that because we've all seen him elevate the players around him. You're even an immediate member. When you're around him, Kyle, he's elevated you, right?
No, absolutely. It makes you want to – it's just when you're around someone that's successful, it rubs off. And not that we're, you know, influenced by Brady, but it just being around somebody – I mean, fellow journalists that are in here with us, I mean, you're around these good writers, you want to step your game up, it seems like.
All right, now, defense. I try to stay, we're doing this a couple of days before the game, and this is 24 hours right before kickoff, so I try to stay away from injuries because you never know, last minute, somebody can play. Overall, the defense, they had not played good. Let's face it, man. They seem to be getting a little bit better. Where do you think this Buccaneer defense is going into this matchup against this rookie quarterback?
Well, you're right, Rock. I mean, they're beat up. The secondary is the main concern. But if they can get that D-line to put some pressure on Fields, that will make all the difference in the world. That'll help out the secondary. But this defense we see now, people are worried about the defense as the problem this year. This is not going to be the defense we'll see in the postseason. This should be a healthy defense by the time, Richard Sherman, Sean Murphy Bunting, Carlton Davis, Antoine Winfield, that's four key players all hurt in the secondary. And once a few weeks down the road here, we'll see that defense again, give them time to mesh. And like last year, hopefully they turn it on the postseason, and we'll see this defense that really made the difference for the Bucs later on.
Now, here's one more for you. On offense, we know about the weapons. We see what Brady is being able to do. He hits the open man. He's the best in the game and still is at it. They seem to slowly, they're starting to get a running game going. Playoff Lenny, we haven't really seen Ronald Jones yet. Do you think this is something that can continue their running game, Kyle?
No, I do, because when you have Brady picking apart the defense the way he does, finding the open guy, that's going to open up the running game. And I don't see any reason why Lenny can't keep doing what he's doing. I mean, he's also catching the ball. We've seen that a little bit now, too. I mean, they brought Gio in here to get that role. But Lenny seems like he's in the zone right now, I like to say. And there's no reason that he could keep, you know, he's going to slow down at all, because Brady keeps finding these open receivers. Antonio Brown is finally, he's really clicking. He seems like the number one receiver on this team. But then you got Evans and Godwin and throwing O.J. Howard right now. I mean, it's just opened up lanes for Lenny to do his thing.
All right, last but not least, I don't know if you do predictions at ABC Action News. How do you see this game unfolding here at Ray J?
Well, I'd hope to see them get out to a big lead and get Rojo in the game that second half. Get his wheels going, because we know he's a talented running back. Jump out early, let Leonard Fournette have his way in that first half, and get some of these guys in there like a Fournette, maybe some Tyler Johnson in the second half, get them some reps. But it's the NFL. You never know. There are good players on that Bears team too, so it could be a tight one, but I don't see it that way.
All righty. Kyle Berger, ABC Action News. He is the sports anchor and sports reporter. Kyle, thank you.
No, you're welcome. Thank you, Rock.
All right. There you go. Now, that's a new one for me, where the GOAT, Brady, has elevated Kyle as a reporter to up his game doing his thing. How about that? That's actually a new one. And you know what? I might say the same thing, man. I might say the same thing. Now, before I get into Brady, I'm going to get into some of these matchups. Just let me once again remind you, Bucks Kickoff on JoeBucksFan.com every Sunday, or before every game, 24 hours before every game. Bill Curry Ford, half mile north of the stadium. I'm talking about Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry in Tampa. The Curry family has been in business 61 years. Their general manager is Brady. He is Sean Sullivan. You can contact him through email. You can call him by phone. You can stop in their beautiful showroom at Bill Curry Ford on Dale Mabry in Tampa. BillCurryFord.com is the website. As I said, 61 years. They give a Joe Bucks fan discount, so make sure you let them know at Bill Curry Ford you're here because of Joe Bucks fan and the Rock Riley podcast, Bucks Kickoff, and a nationwide lifetime guarantee on new and used vehicles. That's where I'm going, BillCurryFord.com. One other thing, besides just the X's and O's, you know what I mean? It's not some of these guys that break down these games, it's only just totally on stats. There's also a human element, like what's going on in the building. Who's being a disruption? You know, that doesn't come down on the stat sheet. And I'm big on that. Watch and observe. And I didn't think about this until I was reading about some of these situations that they got going on with the Chicago Bears. Did you hear? All right, former Bears linebacker Lance Briggs, he's on a show on NBC Sports Chicago, and he's got to give an opinion. And he was talking about the Bears safety, Eddie Jackson, and about his lack of tackling, missed tackling, not good tackling, that type of thing. Well, Eddie Jackson got pissed off, and he went to Twitter. Now, I don't know if he did this himself and took this much time, or he had somebody look this up, but he went through the archives and he found a Pro Football Focus tweet from 2011 that highlighted Lance Briggs' mistakes, and he tweeted that out. Well, it didn't go very well because Chicago Bears fans love Lance Briggs, and those were some of the good times. And so they're going to side with him, Eddie Jackson. Then he kind of deleted it, and it became a story, and it's a story. It's a distraction. Number two, second-year cornerback Jalen Johnson from the Bears. Did you hear about this one? Turns out he was late at the facility, and Matt Nagy fined him. Okay, there's players that have been late. You know, you get fines for things like that. Okay, but he takes a picture of the fine and he posts it on his Instagram account. So Matt Nagy is doing his press conference with the Chicago media, and a reporter's like, "Hey, coach, did you hear about Jalen Johnson? Hey, coach, you fined Jalen Johnson? What was he late for?" And Nagy, he posted it. Yeah, he posted it on his Instagram, the fine. And Nagy, it's embarrassing. Coaches, head coaches do not want to be embarrassed or told some news by a reporter in front of everybody that they didn't know about. That's one of the, oh, they hate, they can't stand that. And Nagy was like, "Nope, that's news to me. I'll speak with him." Boom. The defensive coordinator for the Bears is walking to his press conference with the media, and a Bears PR staff member says, "Oh, by the way, Jalen Johnson posted on Instagram that he was fined for being late. So just to let you know, you might be asked about that." And he's like, "You got to be kidding me. Hold on, I got to see it." He takes that and they pull it up. He sees it, And then he was a little late for his press conference going in. And it wasn't until I heard about these stories that I was thinking, there has not been one distraction story in the media that would cause a problem or distraction with a player, with a coach. The whole, since, was there any last year? Then they win the Super Bowl, and now we're almost into November. I don't think I've ever covered a team, even championship teams, World Series teams, NFL, Stanley Cup, that's never had one. They haven't had anything. Antonio Brown has behaved. No players got a DUI. Nobody's done anything. There's been nobody griping. It really is something else. And that is the number one thing. I remember when John Gruden was here, and I remember he ended up changing his time of his press conference to be the last one during the day. Like, he wanted to speak. He didn't want anybody in the organization to speak until he wanted to have the last word. That way, if there's something brewing, he can put it to end. I guess Gruden should not be a good example to bring up, but I'm just going back to what I remember. Coaches do not like surprises. They don't like, and the Bucs don't have, they haven't had anybody. Not nobody. Has anybody gotten in any kind of trouble? Has anybody done anything? Right? That really is something. So that's something else to keep in mind behind the scenes that a lot of these statistician geeks that are breaking down these games don't bring you. There is a human element still. These are still human beings, and they're going to screw up, and they're going to have problems, and there's going to be problems. And so far, there have been none. And that kind of blows me away. All right, what have I been seeing behind those walls inside One Buck? O.J. Howard came out. Now, he is coming off the Achilles. He's rounding into shape, and then he had an ankle. That came out of nowhere because we just talked to him the day before, and there was no mention. And then you do these interviews around either noon or 1 o'clock, all right? And we spoke with him, and there was no mention of an ankle. And then the injury report comes out later in the day, and he's on it with an ankle. He did come out the following day with his helmet and with his gear on and ready to practice. Now, Gronkowski was at one of the far fields. Gronk, midweek, Thursday, I believe, and he was running sprints, and he was running at a pretty good pace. But it's just that they need that time for those. You're going to need Gronk in the playoffs. You need him. And you don't want to have him still with it, a little cracked or hit again yet. He needs to heal. So I think that's a smart move. But when I saw him running compared to O.J. Howard doing his run, now maybe Howard wasn't putting much into it when he was doing a little sprint to get loose. Gronk was running a lot faster. And so Gronk is keeping his legs in shape. I can tell you that and saw that. Richard Sherman, not ready to go with a hamstring. There again, there's no reason to push him as well. He's an older guy. He came in. He played all those snaps. He pushed his body. Oh, and here's one thing that I noticed. And then I asked Bruce Arians this. When Richard Sherman came here and he talked to us, he was mentioning that, you know, it's a young defensive group in the back, and they're learning, but they also have played in some big games, including like the Super Bowl. So they're more than, you know, raw, wet behind the ears, but they're a sponge. And he knows, and he mentioned this on his podcast, and I think Joe might have, one of the Joes might have wrote this on JoeBucksFan.com, but these guys are, you know, there's a reason. It was a good move. It was a good move by Jason Light. It really was. They need that legend, that Pro Bowler, that Hall of Famer to come in here, Richard Sherman, and it elevates the game, and there's going to be things that he can show them and teach them. So that's number two. Also, Richard Sherman made it a point to tell us, he goes, and by being here and being around this defense, they take pride in stopping the run. Like, that's a number, that's a pride. That's a pride thing, man. And that's what he's noticed. So then, when we were talking with O.J. Howard, and O.J. Howard was asked, you know, all about it. He had his touchdown catch and all that, and da da da, and he said, "What about the running game, Leonard Fournette? What's that do?" And you know what? O.J. Howard said the exact same thing as Richard Sherman. He goes, "That takes the pride out of a defense. You know, you can go down the field with weapons, and it's hard to stop in this day and age, the way the rules are made for the offense. It's very, very hard. Okay." And these are talented guys. But when you are able to run and gash a defense, and like what the Bucs have been able to do these last three games with playoff Lenny, and O.J. Howard said it takes the pride out of, and there's nothing worse than a football team on a defense where their pride is being taken away. And that's the reason why. That's another human element, part of the game that people don't get. That, oh, you got all these weapons. Maybe you don't even need to run, you know. No, yeah, it does set up play action. Yeah, it keeps the defense honest. But it also, it will take away their pride. It will whip their asses. And that is a factor. And that's why I'm hoping that the Buccaneers can continue, man, to keep mixing it up. Most of the players seem to like the outdoor practice now. I remember Brady telling that he and Clyde Christensen last year, because Brady was new to all this with the Florida sun. And once they got into November and December, they would be like, they would rate it. Brady would look over at Clyde and like, what do you got it today? Is it an 8? Is it a 9? Like the weather? I know Ndamukong Suh does not like practicing indoors. He said it's hard on his knees. As an older guy, he will take the heat and practicing outdoors. And now with this beautiful weather, they're mixing it up. They had a real easy, because of the grueling schedule that they had and those trips and those three games, what was it, 3 games, 11 days? Or how many? It was just, they had a very, very light start to the week. And then Arian said that he thought it was good. Oh, and that's the other thing, too. I did get a chance to ask Arians about that pride thing, like being able to run the ball. Sherman said it, pride. O.J. Howard said, you're taking away the pride. What about that? You agree with that, coach? And he's like, well, it's physicality. We preach play physical, offense and defense. So we didn't get too much into the pride factor, but there you go. All right, Buccaneer defense and Bears defense. Now, I will say this. The Bears defense has been good in the red zone, and they've been pretty good on third downs. The Buccaneer defense, when I'm looking at some of these numbers, they are getting better. All right, they're 9th in total defense. They are number one, as they've been for a couple of years now. They're number one against the run. They are 27th versus the pass. They're 10th in interception percentage. They're 24th in sacks. And I think on third down, they're around 23. So it ain't where you want it, but let's face it, they are getting better. All right. What do I want to see in this game? What do I want to see this game? Raymond James Stadium, 4:25 kickoff in the sun. It'll be dark by the time this bad boy ends. I want to see the O-line keep on balling. All right? Defensive line. Pressure Justin Fields. I know it's kind of a simple tactic to say, but he holds on. He holds on. He doesn't have it down yet. The NFL game, as far as being able to go through these progressions. The Buccaneers offensive line has been outstanding. Ryan Jensen, Ali Marpet, Donovan Smith, and Tristan Wirfs. Versus the Eagles, Fletcher Cox, Javon Hargrave. Those are studs. Those are studs. And the Buccaneers' whole line, they've done a great job. Tom Brady's thumb getting better. He's not going to admit it, but it was sore. Now, Jay Glazer from Fox Sports he's usually not wrong. He claims there was a little ligament damage in there. But at practice this week, Brady looked fine. He didn't even have a bandage on. He's a tough dude. There was a stretch during that Eagles game where he missed a couple, and he downplayed it after the game. He even said, like, what injury? And do you remember when he was off season? He was in that, wasn't it the barber shop or whatever, he did that interview where he admitted that he said he never tells the truth like 90% of the time when he's in front of the media. So he says he had no problem with the thumb, but let me tell you, something was hurting him, but you don't have to worry about that. All right, Brady is second right now. Let me give you a little stat action. Brady is second in the NFL in touchdowns. Pro Football Focus. Get this one. Brady has suffered more drops from his receivers than any other quarterback in the NFL. And Brady is easily the highest graded passer. I see him with quick feet, stepping, turning, throwing. He is also working on his footwork. He works on this stuff at practice. He says, boom, 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 boom. Quick steps here. Boom, 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 boom. Side, side. Real quick, little jumps. Jump, 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 jumps. He's always working on something when he's out on the practice field. It really is amazing to see. All right, now, it isn't all roses here for your Buccaneers. Stop getting penalties. They went back to it. After the Chicago game last year, the penalties in that game, I mean, it stopped. Okay, 6 games now. The Buccaneers have 47 penalties, 471 yards. That is second in all of the NFL for a team that's only lost one game. For a team that's 5-1, and you are second in the NFL with 471 yards of penalties, that's amazing. That shows you how good they are. You know, but you can't, and Arians is fed up. He's fed up with that. Arians said that the Bucs had 3 critical penalties in the Eagles game. The Bucs are number 1 in yards given up in penalties. And Arians said that it's fundamental mistakes. Like, it's fundamental mistakes. So if I got a criticism, that's it. That's it right there. Because sometimes most of these games, too, in the NFL, and you've seen it, they come down to the wire, man. Another one, Devin White. Devin White, 0 sacks, 0 tackles for loss, 0 interceptions, 0 forced fumbles in this. I don't know what it is. Now, Devin White, he seems to be healthy, right? He's young. He was so good last year. I don't know if this is the one that might be suffering a little bit from complacency. I don't know. We're only 5-6 games in, but it is time for Devin White to try not to be a hero, play the system, and you're fast enough. You are talented enough. It's time for Devin White to step it up, right? Step it stinking up. Now, Robert Quinn on the COVID list. COVID-19 list. He is asymptomatic. He is vaccinated. Through six games, 5.5 sacks, 1 forced fumble. Khalil Mack, who was also banged up, 6 sacks. I was listening to Matt Nagy this week, and he said that, you know, Justin Fields is taking some unnecessary criticism after this last game where they lost to Green Bay 24-14. He said, looking at the film, now this is, again, is this a coach just trying to talk up to keep the confidence up of a young rookie quarterback? I believe there is something to that. But he said, after looking at the film of this Beagles game, his decisions were good. He had that opening 8-play, 80-yard drive. They did get a pass interference call. His timing and his rhythm was exceptional. And that is from Nagy. Late fourth, Fields went 5 for 5, another 80-yard drive, 10 plays. At that time, that cut that Packers lead to 3-17-14. Nagy says that was the best drive of the season. The problem is consistency, or should I say inconsistency. The Bears are 30th in the NFL in points. They're only scoring 16 points a game, and they're 31st in yards per game at 246 yards a game. So they are not moving the chains, and they are not scoring a lot of points, this Bears team. And I honestly don't expect them to, you know, break it out. I really don't. All right, somebody to watch in this game here. Roquan Smith, their inside linebacker. He's a beast. 62 tackles, 35 solo. He's only 24 years old, and he's fourth year in the league. But like I said, Khalil Mack is damn good, but he's hurt. He's had a rib injury, foot injury. He did not practice. He didn't practice Wednesday. He didn't practice on Thursday. He's going to go up against Tristan Wirfs. If you remember, the rookie, which is hard to believe, as a rookie, only gave up one sack all last year, and it was to Khalil Mack. So that'll be an interesting, when you get put, if you're going to the game, get your binoculars out, and if you're watching it on your big screen in your man cave, check out Khalil Mack and Tristan Wirfs. That should be good. Bears quarterbacks have been sacked 22 times. Dalton 2 times. Justin Fields 20. It's because Justin Fields is holding on to the ball too long. So, and on the flip side of that, Brady from the stats is getting rid of it in 2.3 seconds. That is second fastest in all of the NFL at 44 years old. That's because he has this offense down now. And as Arian said, last year he would call out and it wouldn't register. Now he sees everything. Brady goes through his progression so fast and doesn't hold on to it. So there you go. The offensive line must love Brady. Oh, and another thing that Playoff Lenny was telling us about. So on Fridays, they knew that the running game was shit. Well, it wasn't doing good. And let's do something about it. So Brady and Playoff Lenny said, let's get everybody together. And they did. On Fridays, for about an hour after practice is done, the O-line, the running backs, Brady, and they go, what worked? What worked? What didn't work? What are we going to do? And they've done that the last, I think Playoff Lenny said, last 2 weeks. This would be week number 3. And there you go. Again, it's what you do in practice. It's repetition, and it's how you practice. And that usually will translate into the game. The Bears defense, again, like I said, Khalil Mack, Will Quinn with the COVID, Akeem Hicks, that's somebody also to keep an eye on. They do have a pass rush, but the Packers were able to run it on the Bears. They really, really were. So, and Lenny is feeling it right now, and none of these offensive linemen are really banged up and hurt, so I would expect that the Buccaneers are going to be able to run this bad boy. All right, couple of other things here. I want to get in, and we'll go through the just real quickly around the NFL. When Brady was talking this week, The theme that he keeps stressing is take nothing for granted. We cannot take the foot off the gas. We're trying to get better every single practice. That's what he does. I'm not saying that all NFL teams don't practice as hard. It's not like it's hard. It's what you make of the time. You know what I mean? And with no music on and being coached up, I think there is something to that. Now, the Bears beat the Buccaneers 20-19. That was week 5 last year. Brady was even laughing. That was the time where he mentally, he is human. He thought that it was third down on that incompletion. Remember, he put the forehand up. No, the game's over. You're the GOAT. Did you not? That was fourth down. Brady did not know. He ain't going to do that. But the Buccaneers, last year after that Bears got, something went off. They were the least penalized team in the NFL. The Bucs had 11 penalties in that game. And the O-line really didn't block for Brady in that game. They were bad on third downs. It was a bad game. And as I mentioned, the Buccaneers are now number one in the NFL in penalty yards, number two in the NFL in most called penalty yards. And Arian says, let's go. The Buccaneers, when you break down this last game against the Eagles in Philly, in the city of brotherly love, the cheesesteaks, they dominated the Eagles. They were up by 3 touchdowns, and they let the Eagles come back in. That's because the Buccaneers were penalized. You know how many yards? 120 yards. That's more than a freaking football field. That's a football field and an end zone. All right, as I mentioned, the running game, getting a little bit better. First 3 games, 3.5 yards per carry. They only ran it 16 times, the Buccaneers did, in the first 3 games. These 3 last games, a 4 yards per carry percentage, they ran it 29 times. Brady also said this week he believes the Buccaneers have not reached their potential yet, and we got to stress details every single day in practice. How about his wife, Giselle, and the kids? We find out they leave the house 24 hours they give him. They leave the house so he can just focus and concentrate on the Eagles and on what to do in this game. That's why. All right, enough. That's enough on Brady. All righty. Let's go real quickly. This Buccaneers kickoff, Bucks kickoff podcast brought to you by Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com, Sean Sullivan, GM, nationwide lifetime guarantee on new and used vehicles. And you mentioned you're a Joe Bucks fan, and you are a Joe Bucks fan. And you will get a Joe Bucks fan discount, BillCurryFord.com. All right, now I'm going to stay away from these early games because this is a 24-hour before the game kickoff podcast. You may be listening right up until kickoff. You may be listening at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. So forget about the 1 o'clock games. They're already going on. But I will tell you this, as one hell of a game, the Bengals at the Ravens, right? Bengals at 4-2 and the Ravens at 5-1. All right, the Vegas Raiders. How about what's going on in Las Vegas with Gruden gone? Now, Rich Bisaccia taking over. Now, Bisaccia was here. He's been with Gruden a long time. And the Raiders beat Denver by 10, 34-24. They snapped a 2-game losing streak. There was a player on the Raiders that mentioned that we didn't have any stress. We weren't being yelled out and cussed, yelled at and cussed out. Oh, my God, it was so much better. That was one player. I talked this week to a reporter, a national reporter, and he did an investigation on this. And he has 6 sources within the Raiders building in Vegas. And there was, according to his sources, there was a big relief, a cheer when John Gruden was gone. I'm just reporting on what I was told. Now, a lot of people think that the NFL was involved in leaking this. And according to this reporter that has done an investigation, it wasn't the NFL. Goodell didn't want this to happen. This is a hot market with the Raiders. You're right here, a quarter of the season done, mid-season. You don't want this to get out. So this wasn't. It was, you know, it started from the Washington football investigation. And then it snowballed. More of John Gruden's emails to Bruce Allen and those guys, you know, were released. Some believe it may be an inside job inside that Raiders organization. We don't know the money details. Gruden was getting $10 million a year, 4 years in, so he was owed $60 million with the clause and what's going on. I'm sure there was a settlement. That I don't know, but get him out. He wasn't winning, all right? And I can tell you, Gruden, the last 10 years, now this is just stats, the last 10 years as a head coach, 6 with the Bucs and 4 with the Raiders, he is 67 and 84. And that last playoff win was against the Raiders in the Super Bowl. That was 18 and a half years ago. When you ain't winning, they're looking for ways to get out of the deal when they realize, you know what I mean? And if you look at the former Raiders head coach, Jack Del Rio, real quickly, I don't want to go too long on this one. Real quickly, I have a friend that is in Las Vegas, and he's the sports director of a TV station in Las Vegas. He's been covering the Raiders even prior to them coming, a year or two, because the station wanted to get people in Vegas. They were getting them all pumped up with the Raiders coming, the stadium being built, and all that jazz. And so he was traveling with the Raiders, with Jack Del Rio. And the owner, Mark Davis, wanted Gruden bad, bad. And it wasn't finalized. And when Gruden finally agreed, they agreed to terms, he's going to come. This was after a game. They were waiting in the hallway. No, they were in the media room waiting for Jack Del Rio, the head coach. This is after the game. He was there. He was telling me the whole thing. Kevin is my buddy. And they're waiting. What's this delay? Jack Del Rio walks in. And he starts taking questions on the game. And he's like, I'm sorry if I'm delayed. And then he just dropped a bomb. He's like, this was my last game coaching the Raiders. He was told in the hallway by Mark Davis that you're fired. Told him in the hallway. And he had to go and do the press conference because Gruden was coming. That is the true story. And you look at his record. So anyway, I'm keeping a close eye on the Raiders and what Rich Bisaccia and see what they can do with Derek Carr and that gang down the road. Packers, Aaron Rodgers, I freaking own you to the Chicago Bears fans. Now, he says there was a woman in the stands giving him the bird, the finger, and he couldn't take it anymore. If you look at Aaron Rodgers' numbers against the Bears, he's 22-5, and he's 10-3 at Soldier Field. He's got 57 touchdown passes versus the Bears and 10 interceptions. But I freaking own you. And it's so funny because over the years, I've interviewed so many players that tell me, once you get out there and you're playing in front of 70,000 fans, you don't even hear the fans. You don't even see anything. You're so locked in. Well, he's saying he's looking in the stands. This lady's giving me the bird. I freaking own you. But the Packers are a team to be reckoned with. And Aaron Rodgers, after that first bad game, have looked good. Arizona Cardinals, 6-0. Are they for real? J.J. Watt got pissed off. J.J. Watt said, instead of making excuses that we're 6-0, maybe we're just that effing better. Maybe that's it, right? Now, Cliff Kingsbury was quarantining because of the COVID. So Kyler Murray, they crushed the Browns. Kyler Murray had 4 touchdowns, no picks. First half drives, 2 touchdowns, 3 field goals. Only now, Spencer Whipple, what a name, Spencer Whipple. Spencer Whipple was calling the plays for the Arizona Cardinals in this game because, like I said, Cliff Kingsbury was quarantining. He was out because of the COVID deal, okay? So this is a 32-year-old assistant wide receiver coach that was calling plays. Do you know that Spencer Whipple from the Arizona Cardinals only called plays one time in his life? It was years ago when he was with UMass, and it was against USF, the University of South Florida in Tampa. And he said that he was more nervous for that game, calling plays for UMass against USF, than he was for the Arizona Cardinals against the Browns, because Cliff Kingsbury had it all set up. They went over everything. He was prepared, and he only called plays once, and Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals are getting it done. So there's something. I remember the first time I saw Kyler Murray when the Arizona Cardinals were here. He was a rookie. I'm up high in the press box. You get a good view, and I'm looking at him. I'm like, he is so stinking small. I'm not kidding you. Wasn't there a teammate of him called him Baby Yoda? But you could see the arm strength and the athletic ability, but so little. And I was like, he's no way is he going to be this successful. He is that good and that talented. And he's using it to his advantage because he can throw on the run. He can also throw in the pocket. You know, he's a great baseball player. He was drafted so high by the Oakland A's. And it's just fun to watch. And will this continue? J.J. Watt says you better freaking believe it will. All right, in the NFC, real quickly, I'm looking at right now, obviously, the Bucks, the Rams. I think the Rams are good. The Packers are good. And the Dallas Cowboys. Dak Prescott against Belichick. I know Joe calls him Belichick. Belichick and the Patriots. Dak Prescott went 445 passing on Belichick and 35 points in 27 years. There has never, 27 years, Belichick coaching, defense head coach. There has never been a quarterback that has done that to Belichick. Dak says they can win on offense. They could win on defense. Dallas Cowboys, I'm not quite there yet to anoint them, but I could tell in that first game here, that night game to open up the NFL season, and he was coming off the injury and really didn't play in the preseason. Holy shizit. All right, the Bengals. Bengals are a nice story with Joe Burrow. He's on pace for 39 touchdowns. They're 4-2. Both losses were just by a field goal. Bengals and Ravens, that is the huge AFC game, and that's the early game going on early here at 1 o'clock. He also had to rest his throat. He had the same thing as you know how Brady rest his throat this week. Let's look at this schedule here today real quickly. The other 4 o'clock games to keep an eye on. You've got the Eagles at Las Vegas. That's the home game now. How are the Raiders going to respond? Detroit at the LA Rams. I don't see the Detroit Lions upsetting the Rams. The 4:25 start, Houston Texans, oh my God, at the Arizona Cardinals. Most likely the Arizona Cardinals are going to take care of beeswax. They're going to be 7-0. Houston is on a 5-game losing streak. The Texans have been outscored 71-3 in the past two road games. This is an Alabama and Cupcake U. This is the NFL, and the Houston Texans, their last two road games have been outscored 71-3. How bad is that? The Bears and Bucks, obviously, and then the 8:20 game Sunday night, the Colts at San Francisco. Colts with a 31-3 win over Houston. I don't know about San Francisco. You know, they're 24th in third downs. The 3-game losing streak, 2-3, they're giving it away. They're not taking, getting any takeaways. When Garoppolo is healthy, is it Trey Lance? I don't believe the San Francisco 49ers are going to. We'll say this is how I just don't see them making a long run in the NFC in the playoffs. And the Monday night football game is going to be an interesting one. It's the Saints at the Seahawks. The Saints, when healthy, dangerous. They have missed 8 starters for most of their first 5 games. But what Sean Payton is doing, and I was talking to Mike Neighbors, who flies to every game. He's there all the time. He covers the Saints. Sean Payton has got a handle. He's corralling Jameis Winston. He's not letting him go loose. This ain't no risk it, biscuit. throw the ball down the field. The Saints are fourth in the NFL in rushing attempts. And believe it or not, the New Orleans Saints are 32nd in passing attempts. How about that? They are running it, running it, running it, and mixing in a pass with Jameis Winston. So the byes this week, you got the Bills are off, the Cowboys are off, the Vikings are off, the Steelers are off, the Chargers are off, and the Jacksonville Jaguars are off. And they got their first win across the pond, taking a little bit of pressure and heat off of the coach that got grinded on by the blonde. Remember how he said they were luring him out to the dance floor? Did it look like they were luring him to dance? But you know what? They got it done over there. All right, that's about it here. That's everything that I've seen and heard. I hope you enjoy it. I'm going to mix in some stats and X's and O's, but I'm also going to give you a lot of behind the scenes. That's why I go. I want to give you a little bit more. All right. My thanks to Joe Bucks Fan, to Bill Curry Ford. That's BillCurryFord.com. We've got family coming in. My father-in-law getting tickets for the family. And so I'm going to make it a mix between press box and maybe going down. Get a little different perspective being inside Raymond James Stadium with fans. So I'll let you know about that next week. I'll be back out inside One Buck at the Advent Health Training Center this week. So just enjoy the game. The season is rolling on. Everything, despite the injuries, the vibe is good. The goat is good, and I hope you're good. Thanks for listening. I'm Rock Riley, and this has been Bucks Kickoff.